one of the hosts of this new program called the Jacob Sessions, which is kind of a roundtable type podcast discussion group birthed out of thechristianmanifesto.com. So it's kind of in addition to that website. We've tried this before in the past and didn't really work out, but now we have got a set panel where we're going to be coming
technology.
To you. We have the technology. Hopefully we'll be coming to you every week. That is the intention, but we know the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So hopefully it will be every week. If not every week, it'll be every other week, where we just kind of get together and wrestle with thoughts about the church, theology, all that kind of stuff. And so I've already introduced myself, so I will let everybody else kind of introduce themselves. Why don't we start with whoever's fastest?
Awesome. I get to go. Cool. All right. I'm pretty sure everyone, well, not everyone. If you're new, you don't know me. If you're not new, you've never seen my face. You might not know, but I did not always have a beard. I'm David. I think I'm still the co-host. It's sort of ambiguous now that we've got more people who
are
going to be
here
all the time.
We're all co-co-co-hosts.
We're all co-co-co-hosts. I like this. It's like...
Right. Did I miss a co?
Huh?
I think I missed a co there, because there's four of us. So co.
No, you're still host.
Am I?
Yeah. I think you get to be. You have the blue shirt, and you're at, like,
myself.
The front of my...
But I just introduced myself as a co-host. I want to be humble, because it's a Christian podcast, so I have to be humble.
Yeah, right? But sometimes when you're humble, someone says, no, you're taking the chair in front. You don't care if you want it or not.
All right. Okay, well, apparently I am the host, so all these white people are working for me, which is great. Awesome. Turnabout is fair play. Anyway, for those of you listening to the podcast, I'm black. Anyway. Okay, so who's next?
Other minorities. Go!
Do we have any other minorities?
Yeah,
I think,
go, Rachel.
Depending
okay,
on where
so
that can count.
I am Rachel.
Okay, so now Rachel's turn. Introduce yourself, young lady.
Okay, well, I'm Rachel. I am a senior at Moody Bible Institute studying women's ministry and Bible theology. And I'm a classically trained dancer, so hoping to kind of combine my love of ministry and arts and ballet all together once I graduate. And I love debate and discussion, and I'm excited.
So you're a ballet dancer. Can you do this entire podcast with your leg up over your head?
On
your tiptoe. For anybody who thought that was sexist.
She could already be on her tiptoes. We don't know.
She could be.
You really don't. For all you know, I'm like doing all these exercises with my feet.
Well, I will tell you, you got a leg up on me. See what I did there? Lame Christian humor.
I'm Scott Ramsey, and I am completely new to the podcast here.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. Awfully glad to get to be a part of this group with Calvin and David and Rachel. And looking forward to seeing how we can agree and love each other.
Or respectfully not agree as much, which...
I don't agree with you at all about that, Scott. This is all about disagreement. This is all
pretty
about
much. And showing that it doesn't need to be unloving.
Correct. That is one of the things that we are trying to strive for here is... you know, sometimes we're not going to agree with things, you know, with each other, but we want to show people that you can do that in such a way and still love one another. So
exactly.
So, okay, so the way we kind of want to start things off with this podcast is we want to talk a little bit about things going on in life and culture, and then we're going to have a segment where for about 20, 30 minutes we just talk about a specific topic. Today we're going to be talking about questioning the church. But before we talk about that, funny episode from my life today. My buddy had a picture of Tupac on his Facebook page, and he went to, he posted this, and underneath, you know how Facebook will say, do you want to tag a friend? Well, it asked, do you want to tag Calvin Moore? So, apparently, Facebook thinks this is Tupac. So, apparently...
I don't know, dude. You could have fooled me.
I think Facebook is pretty racially insensitive right now. Oh, so all black people look alike to you, Facebook.
Or all black people look like Calvin Moore.
Oh, you know what? If Tupac looked like me, I'm okay. That's the compliment. But if I look like Tupac, it's because of my skin color. That's all I'm saying. Right out the gates with uncomfortable racial humor, everybody. That's what we do here.
It will return, yeah, undoubtedly.
Yeah, so it's funny because my friend, you know, tagged it, and I was like, well, you know, only God can judge me. And so then all these, we started using all these lines from this stuff. So just something I thought was hilarious. Apparently, your host looks like Tupac. Or, if you believe the conspiracy theorists, I am Tupac.
Bum, bum, bum. Which means you can dance.
People who don't know about Tupac, he was shot and killed back in like 1992 or 94. But some conspiracy theorists think that he's still alive. Welcome to the joke.
Thank you.
For those of you who are too young to know who Tupac is.
Yeah, I'm
just going to sit down.
Oh, gosh. I thought you were like babies when that happened. Say again?
I said I'm just going to sit here and keep nodding and act like I'm in a
joke. White people. Anyway. Okay, so anybody else, anything funny, anything interesting to talk about from this week?
You know, there is a problem. Yeah, there is a problem. It is Monday. Not Monday. Not Monday. Tuesday.
It is
same
Tuesday.
Thing as Monday for me, which means nothing interesting happening except horrible things on the news, which... So, I'm not talking about that.
Gotcha. Oh, wait! Hold on! On the Facebook page that we've set up for the Jacob Sessions, which if you're listening or watching, go to facebook.com/thejacobsessions. You'll find pictures and bios of all of us. Well, I set this up a couple days ago and posted all of our pictures, didn't post Rachel's till today, and apparently Scott's picture has gotten quite a few likes, okay? And I'm sitting here thinking, I feel like I'm the handsome, cute one of the group,
yeah.
And I only have one like, and Scott's got like 11 likes. Dave has none, and understandably, Rachel was just posted today, and she doesn't have any yet.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about
say,
that.
I mean, being the token female, it should be like 300. I mean,
right? I'm just waiting for him to roll in. I'm not worried.
I said, yeah, you're just waiting.
You know, it could be. Have you guys seen that meme with the guy with the exact same beard who always has the signs with the funny jokes, like about ferrets and not killing them by sitting on them? I'm doing a horrible job explaining it. Dang it. Okay. Anyway, there's a famous meme, and your beard looks kind of like that. So maybe they think we have some famous internet celebrity on. I mean, we do, but more of them.
Maybe. I bet that's what it is.
Either that, or it's because I think you have a leg up on all of us. You're like a former pastor, so it's kind of not fair. You have like a built-in fan base.
Right. Yes. Big.
And a pastor with a beard.
Yeah, pastor, beard, drinks beer, and has Facebook following.
Yes, it's impressive, really.
Man, I just wish I had that on my resume. I think I'd get hired anywhere. That's just awesome. But, okay, so Scott has all these people liking his Facebook photo, and I'm kind of feeling left out here. So I'm thinking...
Beard.
Here's my idea. Big idea. In the next month, I think we should see which one of us can get the most likes on our Facebook photo on the fan page.
Can I choose the one I submit?
No, it's already up there.
Dang it, I lose. Which picture do you have? I haven't checked it out yet.
I mean, my picture, I'm sorry, my picture's like brooding, and I have books in the background, so I look intelligent.
It's true.
So I'm not only am I trying to beat everybody else, I'm also trying to like get someone to go, ooh, he looks sexy and intelligent.
Oh, yeah, dude, you didn't get my best picture.
I totally got some of your... I got your best picture. I picked your best picture.
Okay,
but if you want to add another one...
I might just do that.
So, I mean, Scott, here's the funny thing. Scott's got all these likes, but he sends me the picture originally. He's like, I don't really have many pictures. This is the only one I have right now. I'll just take a better one later. And I'm like, really? A better one than this? This one's kind of awesome, dude. This one's kind of sweet, and he's got more life than everybody else.
Yeah. So
it's all on the picture quality, then.
Yeah, Scott's got that humble brag going on. He's got that humble. Yes.
That's what it is.
So, all right. Anybody else? Anybody got anything interesting from this week? No? Nothing?
Nothing.
Okay, well then. We are going to dive right into our question for the week then. And this question kind of came from a conversation I had last night. A longtime friend of mine, he's a pastor of a church. He kind of, I guess, called me out a little bit. We don't hang out much. But the question for this week is, is it okay to question the church and its practices and its traditions? Is it okay to do that? And if so, why? If not, why? And if so, how do we go about doing that? And the reason I kind of came up with this question is because, again, my pastor friend kind of called me out for something I had posted on Facebook about wanting to teach theology out of my apartment, because I sometimes feel like Sunday's not enough and small groups not enough. And I just want to teach, you know, theology as a discipline to anybody who might be interested to come by and do that. But the way I guess I worded it, I made it seem as if pastors don't teach theology. And so I kind of cleared a little bit of that up. But he said, you know, Calvin, you tend to be very critical of the church. And, you know, a lot of times pastors just need encouragement, not more critiquing. And I was taught to ask questions in service of the church, not asking questions to sabotage the church or to come with a particular attitude, but to ask questions so that we could better the church. So that's kind of where this question is coming from. I kind of gave away a little bit of my perspective of whether I think it's okay to question, which is clearly yes. But I just want to kind of toss that question out there. Your guys' understanding of questioning the church, is it okay? Is it not okay? How do you go about doing it if it is?
Well, I mean, I guess since I'm to the left or right, I can't tell of you. I'll go first. Either way, I'm in some direction, right? I mean, my response to that is that, I mean, I would think... Gosh, you know, it was one of the things, I was at a sermon 2 weeks ago, and it's weird that I'll be at a sermon and then go back to the same church. Not because I got anything against church, but because I'm new to the area and kind of looking. But he put words to something that I've just been unable to iterate, which is there's a inherent distrust in our generation of institutions, specifically governmental institutions. But I think the more governmental and centralized a church body is, the more we fear its corruption. So my instinct as a Generation Y person, and as someone who's had a hard time finding a place in the Protestant church in general, is that it would be dangerous not to question the church. Once something becomes inscrutable, it gains that vice which forced a Protestant Reformation and eventual revolution. That the church, I mean, I think the church in America, not in terms of the denominations, it's not just any particular pastor's church, and it's, I think the problem is they construe it as that, but it's the people and the apathy in America which I mean, having a critical attitude of that is appropriate. And then from there, finding ways to meet problems that you're contributing to that. The church is not doing it. And when you start looking for those answers outside the recognized structure, that sense of young people leaving the church, I think, very much gets triggered. And we are leaving the institutional church. If we don't have somewhere out that to go to, we're going to see mass apostasy. So yes, not only critical, but we need to find something outside that institution as well, would be my... I never say anything that controversial. Gosh, so what happens if you have me in person? Or in person.
What about you guys? What about Scott and Rachel? What do you guys think?
You know, listening to you, especially talk about apathy, I think is huge. Especially since I think I'm a millennial.
Yes.
Generation, and I think it's just gotten worse when it comes to us questioning institutions. I think it's just at this point, it's like we kind of passed that on to us, and now we're taking it full force. At least what I've observed. And I think in the conversations I've had with people my age, it's been almost to the point of disrespect. And so I think that kind of, I almost err on the side of caution when I talk about questioning things in the church, just because I've seen so many of our generation, I think, blatantly disrespect leadership. And so that's kind of just where I'm coming from over, like, how do we question in a way that is respectful and in a way that's helpful and isn't just, okay, you're an institution, I'm just going to attack you because I distrust institutions, you know, as a person. And so that's kind of always been the crux of the issue for me, is like, how can I go about it in a way that's respectful and isn't just criticism for the sake of criticism.
Yeah,
I think as a pastor, I probably got into as much trouble for disrespecting the church and its tradition, I probably got into more trouble for doing it than being the victim of it.
I believe that.
So I think...
It's the beard.
Yeah.
The beard of authority commands me.
I think the reality is when you ask a question like that, for so many people, questions about the church and the church's tradition get to these things that people consider to be foundational and fundamental. You know, people have the sense that if some of these things are called into question, then everything is called into question.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just having a conversation with a friend this morning about it. We were talking about the Bereans, Acts 17. The notion that they were a group of people who were willing to hear somebody out. You know, if there was something that was being taught, they seemed to have been the sort of people who listened to the whole thing, who were legitimately eager to learn, and then who took whatever they heard and went and examined that. And I think so much of what we have going on today is people who hear something and they immediately make a judgment about it. Instead of considering it, instead of weighing it, they just look at it and say, I can categorize this person as being in or out of my particular group. And I think that's something that prevents a lot of people from being able to question. And it really prevents, I think, productive conversation about those questions.
Yeah, I think there's the other side of that, I think, is interesting. Something that adds to that is, and I grew up in a church where you just didn't question God, which I think is dangerous. Because when I read through books like the Psalms, where, you know, God is, where David or the psalmist, whichever psalmist has written a particular psalm, may be questioning God. maybe outright indicting God, but often where those texts tend to land is, you know, at the end, it's like, you know, the very beginning, it's like, God, why this? Why that? How long, O Lord? Why am I going through this? My enemies are attacking me. Why do the evil prosper? And then at the very end of all of those texts tend to be, but you are still God, and I will still worship you. And I think that's a far cry from where we are now. And I think the church, and these are some of the things that I question about the language of the church, is people saying things like, God makes room for your doubt. God is okay with your doubt. I'm like, well, I don't see anywhere in scripture where God said that at all. And so I question those things, but when pastors are saying those kinds of things, when ministers or leaders in the church are saying those kinds of things, it's feeding into this outright suspicion that people have of institutions and the church and authority figures. So when you've got doubt that is, you know, okay, and a rite of passage, you know, it's okay for me to doubt, God's okay with that. Instead of God saying, oh, ye of little faith, he's saying, oh, you of much doubt, how great you are. And you add that to this, you know, skepticism, this hermeneutic of suspicion, so to speak. And when you add those two together, you get a perfect storm, and people come together with this attitude of, yeah, well, that's just your opinion, which is a really hard part of, you know, having the degrees that I have and understanding all the things that I do, talking to people. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, before you get too far off that perfect storm, there's an important point, which I think we've encountered in America. You guys brought up the nature of questioning, how people feel about it. If that question is the kind of challenges everything, then you have to question all things. Well, there are subcultures in secularism where the entire point is question everything, and they're paraded, I think, somewhat appropriately as bastions of thought. I think more, but the problem with that then is that if you have this unhealthy model of questioning, which you have in the church, and then people want to question in that perfect storm, they say, well, where do we question? And they look to the secular community, to this highly antagonistic, highly aggressive model of not questioning the church, not questioning an idea, but trying to destroy the idea. It can be destroyed, whether you understand it or not. I think it's feeding into that.
Then how do we, I guess the question at the heart of this is, how do we question? Because I told my pastor friend today, I said, you know, my difficulty is I tend to be arguing with idiots. And I hate to call people idiots, but sometimes people are just idiots. They're just asking questions because they want to scoff. They're scoffers, and that's what scoffers do. And I think there are scoffers within the church as well. And so there are people who are asking questions to be antagonistic, to be saboteurs, so to speak, just so they really don't have to deal with the truth of, you know, whatever sin it is that they're probably in. And then there are people like me and friends of mine who have been taught to question on behalf of the church. But because pastors and people are often dealing with the kinds of people that, you know, I'm dealing with, we get lumped in with those people when we're asking those questions. So my question then is, I think questions are necessary for the forward motion of the church. How do we go about asking these important questions and do it in such a way that we don't get lumped into this category of people who are just asking questions just to be contrarian?
We have to do it in the context of loving relationships.
Yeah, I would say, I was actually going to say something extremely similar. I know growing up, I had a lot of questions, not like faith doubting questions, but like doctrinal questions, which were completely against the denomination I grew up in. And from there, I realized I had to be very sensitive who I asked those questions to, because some people, my dad made me aware when I was in support of older creationism, it's not just that they're younger creationists, but if they lose that sacred cow, they will lose their faith. And it's better that they keep a naive faith scientifically, you know, whatever. No one again to that topic.
Wait. Are you saying the Earth isn't 6,000 years? Are you saying that right now?
I'll just say it's a scientifically controversial point.
Rachel, can you solve this for us? Is it 6,000 years or 6 billion? Can Rachel's going to solve this for all Christians.
Yep, here we go, guys. Are you ready? It's not 6,000 years.
Oh, my
God. Oh, God. It's at 20,000.
Heresy, people. I know we shouldn't have let a woman on this podcast.
There she goes.
Oh my goodness.
New Bible Institute heretic right here.
I think the point I was going for more is what I've taken to doing is trying to discover in a person's denomination the questions that denomination asks and the answers it provides. Does that help a person in my relationship with them? And if they don't have the answers to the questions they want to ask, I try to understand not the answer they need, but the question they're asking. I run into that a lot when people are talking about hell. They grew up with eternal conscious torment and are not aware that there are variants within lots of variants. And then there's, for example, annihilationism. And when I deal with people who have totally apostatized, much as I totally disagree with it, they'll say, well, how can loving God send people to hell? And I'm like, well, not every saint for all time has believed that. I don't agree with it, but if you're apostatizing from God because of hell, when George MacDonald was a universalist, we even read his work. And it's sort of a try to guide them to ask questions which answer the needs God's put on their heart.
And when it comes to leadership, something that comes to mind for me too is the idea that the idea that am I coming at it with a sense of humility? Can I be wrong? You know, what if I'm approaching leadership and, you know, we have a conversation and it turns out my viewpoint wasn't correct. Like, is it about me being right, or is it really about the education of the church?
It's about what's at stake.
Right.
I don't know. There didn't seem to be a lot of humility in your answer about the Earth being 6,000 years. You seem kind of fool yourself there. I was my entire worldview is shattered.
Yeah, Zarathustra.
I can't believe she believes that. That's ridiculous. What about
unbiblical?
Unbiblical.
I am right.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're gonna try to avoid words like unbiblical in this.
That's sort of an inside joke.
One of our favorite things. I guess. I picked this topic for such selfish reasons. I've got like 80 other people that I'm talking to this week about this. Because I got into a place where I'm okay with questioning. Even though I came out of a tradition it's not okay to question. But I feel like even though the church says, you know, it's okay to doubt, things like that, even though scripture doesn't say that, that's unbiblical. Even though scripture doesn't say that, when you do that, and like you said, you know, you got to ask the right people. If you ask certain people in positions of power who you trust these hard questions, they often don't know where you're coming from, and it's hard to say those things. So for me, it's this frustrating back and forth of feeling free to ask questions, but also shackled by the people who say that God's okay with your doubts. And it's not even me doubting God. Sometimes it's just me doubting practices or deficiencies within the church so as to be a reformer, to serve the church.
Yeah, the problem is within our culture, there are so few honest questions.
You know, yeah, most like I of said, the... it's a secularism thing. I mean, not secularism itself, but we've modeled the practice of questioning after a form of polemics, which isn't healthy.
Yeah, and we ask questions to categorize people or to establish or acquire power. And very few of our questions are honest questions that we really have. Which makes makes it difficult when you're hearing those questions.
Yeah, it also makes it difficult because
they have to filter it through their own grid. You filtered it through one grid. They're filtering it through another, and they may not even be hearing your question, or you may not even be asking the question as honestly as you think you are. So that's another thing I have to consider for myself. Like, oh, if there aren't really any honest questions, what are my motives behind asking?
Well, and that might raise the thought that asking a question to polemicize would be wrong, which is why the question, what's at stake, is there. I often will practice polemics. When I mean polemics, I mean engage an idea to destroy it. It's after I've studied the idea immensely, and I've read people who study it, and I've read people who believe it. I've concluded the idea is in some way harming the person or people in the area where a person is presented as an authority figure. And it's usually a very calculated move before I'll do that. And then it's not an emotional, I'll destroy your reputation thing, but it's usually, what if that's not true? What's at stake? And then engage with you logically and demonstrate the idea may not logically hold water. And so it's usually that kind of criticism. And that is with the idea to challenge it because it's doing damage to my understanding. And it's not usually public. That's where if you're going to say, I'll engage with this, but only if it's a formal debate. That's where I've hit that point where I think this thought is in some way dysfunctional, and the only way to engage this thought is not through discussion, but through a formal debate. And that's why that forum exists, to be able to have those discussions. And I think a lot of times people run from it because it's difficult. It's an academic practice, but I mean, the point is that I don't think it's wrong to privately or in forums. I mean, there's hot topics. Whether we're making ministers has huge implications for people's lives. And if someone's on one side of that spectrum, I would not only expect but want them side of the spectrum with the intention to strike down my view if it's wrong. Because if that view is wrong, it must be abandoned. Whichever side of that spectrum you're on.
What says everyone else?
Well, I guess my question then would be, at one point you talked about, like, someone is naive in their faith and is believing certain things, and if you question it, then it destroys that ounce of faith that they have. But then on the other flip side, there's the idea that if you're believing something that is ultimately destructive, and that we know is wrong or is convoluted, then deconstructing that could conversely be a good thing. So the question that I would bring up is, like, where do we find that line? How do we know, you know, that sort of thing?
Right.
Honestly, the cop-out answer is prayer. I'll give a perfect example of that, where it plays out personally. I'll go to real estate. I am egalitarian. I find very few complementarians who I find are practicing any kind of faith where I think it's destructive. Yeah, I know, horror. You couldn't tell from my Facebook. I think I'm rare as an egalitarian in that perspective. There are occasional examples where I think someone is using that doctrine correctly. And in those instances, I won't necessarily say the doctrine is necessarily false, but it's being applied wrong. And I'll ask questions like, how, given women can't be ministers in your church, are you empowering women in your church? Because if you're not doing that, you're leaving literally half the congregation unempowered to do God's will. That's your problem. So there's ways even to engage without trying to force them to apostatize the view. By the flip side, if I met someone who I believed was called to do ministry, and she felt called but couldn't because of her exegesis, I wouldn't tell her, you need to disbelieve that, but I would tell her, you know that's not the only view. And then give her data so she can decide what she believes between her and God for herself. About what all you can do, I think, in faith.
You know, all I heard in that is, you don't think women should have to make me sandwiches.
I know. I can't help it. I honestly, sometimes I think it just calls my sexuality into question that I just don't want them to make
it
barefoot in the kitchen. I know. That
is, I'm really bad at making sandwiches. So.
I don't care. It's the thought that counts. You can just bring me two pieces of bread, Rachel. Two pieces of bread with a mustard.
Perfect.
That'll be good. All right. I'm kidding, everyone. If you think that I'm a sexist pig, I swear to God, I am not.
It's okay. We're sexist and racist and demagogues on it.
He's racist, sexist. Everything was about women and his race. Not cool. Anything. He's super handsome, but nobody liked his picture. But okay, yeah. So I mean, I know we're not going to solve this, and I want to wind it down a little bit. So just some final thoughts from everyone. I mean, I'll start off with my final thought. And my final thought is I'm going to continue to wrestle with this. I mean, that's where our tagline comes from. We wrestle with God and with one another. But I really wrestle with how to ask appropriate questions. I never even thought about the false pretenses or not asking honest questions. I've just always assumed, and I think everybody probably does this to a degree. They assume their questions are coming from an honest place. And I think that I do a good job to a degree of, you know, examining my heart. You know, am I doing this for power? Do I even want power? Like, I don't even want to work at a church. So the fact that I'm asking these questions isn't about like me taking the pastor's position or taking over this team or anything like that. So in that sense, I'm honest. But in another sense, am I being dishonest because really I just want things to go my way? I want things to be my way, and I'm dressing it in this garb of I'm doing this in service of the church because this is what God wants. Is it really what I want? So I think I'll wrestle with my motives, questioning my motives a little bit more, which I think I needed to hear. I didn't even consider that. So those are my final thoughts. I think it's okay to ask questions, but should definitely examine your motives as you are in the practice of questioning practices of the church. So those are my thoughts.
I've definitely been there.
Awesome. I've been there too. Now, Scott, you have to disagree on principle because everybody agrees.
Here's the last one, dude.
Okay, let's see. I disagree. I don't think you should question the church or any of its traditions. Just do whatever your pastor tells you.
Nice.
Perfect.
You can find books on Amazon which say to do that. It's horrifying.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, any final thoughts anybody wants to add, though?
I think that's a great question to start this Jacob Sessions with, you know?
Absolutely.
I disagree.
The best question was, what's the age of the earth? Come on. We all know that's true.
Exactly. And thank you for that answer, Rachel.
Next episode is going to be called, Where's My Sandwich, Rachel?
One of these is, you're going to have to do a how-to. How to make a sandwich.
That'll be the third session. How to make a sandwich, Rachel.
Next episode, I'm gonna be here with a sandwich. Just like,
yeah.
Rachel made this for me, everyone.
I'll learn how to be a proper complimentarian.
That's right. But okay, so I guess we'll wind down on that then. There seems to be a lot of agreement on this one. Obviously, the whole idea of the Jacob Sessions is to wrestle with questions, not to solve. All of the church's questions, but to kind of be iron sharpening iron and making each other live with the implications of you know what they believe. Like David said, he's an egalitarian. I tend to be more complementarian, even though I was raised in a denomination where women could do everything, which is kind of interesting. So I'm kind of a hybrid.
It's interesting.
Kind of a hybrid. kind of a hybrid there. But we can talk about that in some other time. Despite all my jokes there, Rachel, obviously, you know, I don't believe that at all about the sandwiches. but yeah, we want to do this more. Looking forward to getting together with you guys each week to do this. To all of our viewers out there, if you have questions you'd like us to consider, questions that you're wrestling with, go to facebook.com/thejacobsessions. You can also follow us on Twitter. That will be at Jacob_Sessions. And you can email us at thejacobsessions3228@gmail.com. So we are definitely socially networked and we've got an email. So send us your questions. We would love to wrestle with those questions with you. And basically that's kind of it. So we're out of here and hopefully we'll see you next week, all three viewers. I mean, I know Scott's going to have a bunch of viewers. He's going to like tell his whole family to come.
Definitely.
Watch this, right? And don't forget, we've got that contest going, guys. We got to get people liking our photos. And it starts now. I don't know what the prize is, but a month from today, I don't know what's today. Today is the 24th of September. Okay. So on the 24th of October, just shy of Halloween, where we will be talking about all the harvest parties that we went to and how they're actually just Halloween parties in disguise.
I don't think about the Halloween parties, dude.
Whatever. Anybody else go dressed as Moses? But anyway.
I think if I did that, someone would call it racist.
Yeah, they probably would. They probably would. But
I should be with Jesus. That would really take people off.
Yeah, I did see a cool movie where Jesus was white, but then all of his disciples were black. No, I'm sorry. Everybody else was white, but Jesus and his disciples were black. It's called The Color of the Cross, and it was a really interesting movie. Just thinking about that. But anyway. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, tune in next week where we will be talking about Rachel's sandwich making abilities and Scott's epic beard.
I'm going to try to make it more epic by next week.
You should. You should just grow it like for the entire season.
Yeah, Duck Dynasty style.
Duck Dynasty style, although I've never seen that as a black person. It's the thing. No black person. No black person has ever watched Duck Dynasty. I was just putting it out there. I have never seen a guy that is black say, "Hey, bro, see that last episode of Duck Dynasty?" I know, right? Wait. Anyway, you know it's true. You know it's true. Anyway, all right. Thanks so much for tuning in to our racist rants and feminist rants. And we will see you all next week. Have a good one, everybody.